Hey guys, welcome back to Ebbs and Flows, where we talk about the highs and lows on and off the field. Today I'm up on Gold Coast, joined by the King of Palmy,
Brimark. Prince. How are you?
If you're the prince, who's the king?
I guess Tino now. I guess he kind of, but he lives up north side, so it's kind of hard. You know, he lives up by training. I keep telling him to come down to Palmy ways and that, but family man.
Yeah. Bro, so we'll just start there. Tino, 10-year contract. Those sort of contracts seem like crazy to me as someone who sort of got like 1-year contracts. I think the longest one I got was like a 3 and I felt like I was safe. Obviously, you must be super stoked as a Titans boy, but talk about that contract from your perspective and the club's perspective. How important is it?
I remember like me and Tino are pretty good mates and he was going on saying he wants like a 10-year deal. And I was like, and literally I think, without naming names, I'm pretty sure like every club was pretty keen to sign up for 10 years and he was very keen to stay on the Gold Coast. So, and I was just saying, there's no way our club isn't going to offer a 10-year. I mean, I feel like we would have been silly not to. You know, he's a captain, he's 23, he's won a comp, he's won a World Cup, he's won multiple Origin series. I feel like he's only going to get better, like, and he's a hard worker, so it's not like he's just a big freak who doesn't really care. And he's obviously a leader in our club, so I was like, yeah, our club's would get, you know, roasted and it'd be a dumb decision if they don't do it. So, and then I guess for us players, it's reassuring that, you know, someone like that who's been there, done that, wants to stay at the club. And I guess he wouldn't stay unless he actually generally thought, you know, we can go somewhere. So it's pretty good.
Yeah, did you ever feel like he was going to leave at any time?
Not really, eh? I remember him saying to me, like, pretty confidently, and I feel like he would be pretty honest with me. You know, he'd always joke and be like, see you later, like, all the best, you know, shit like that. But no, I feel like he was always pretty, like, he just kept saying, like, I don't want to leave the boys and that. So I feel like the good thing at the club at the moment is everyone's kind of re-signing or at least wanting to re-sign. So just trying to keep our core base. It's pretty young at the moment, so.
Who is your core base that you reckon? Obviously yourself, Fafita, Tino. Do you guys sort of have conversations behind the scenes of, like, I might be sober, might be on the piss, or like, fuck, we got something here?
Yeah, no, we got a big, about 7 or 8 of us signed till 26, you know, JC, Keanu Kenny, Tanner, like Phil Sammy, Moaki, I think, on the verge of re-signing, hopefully. Re-signed BK, I think, our pack, you know, David, Tino, Moe, Verrills is young, like I'm semi-young, my body's pretty old.
I was surprised how young you were, because I feel like you've been around for ages and I've known you for a bit.
And I've only played 90-something games, so I've missed 2 years on injuries. But we got to, when you look at it like that, our spine's young, obviously foreign, about 42, 43, whatever he's pushing. But we do have a young squad and it feels that way. And I feel like everyone's keen to stay together and just hopefully, you got players playing, you know, under 50 games, or like a fair few on our team. Hopefully, once they start getting their second, third season, starts getting some consistency.
I feel like that second year of first grade is like really hard. They used to call it like second year syndrome. Yeah, I don't really hear it anymore. I think the first year is so exciting because you play new stadiums, you go up against guys you've seen on TV, you run out, you can see them across the field. What do you reckon makes that second year so hard, so much harder?
I honestly don't know, but I do believe it's a thing because people said that to me in 2018. I came in, played 15 games, and I was like, fuck, this is mad. I was just buzzing every week. And, like, it's hard to, like, especially for people to think or hear, like, you know, you got to try to get up every week. And as obviously playing NRL is the dream and it's sick, but, like, there is definitely times where you're like, fuck, we got to go down to Shark Park on Saturday at 2 in the hour. It's going to be, like, hard for the boys to get up as compared to playing Friday night at Seabus versus Penrith or whatever, or Broncos, you know what I mean?
Or Warriors.
Yeah, up the Warriors. but I think, I don't know if it's a bit of like, you kind of come on the scene, everyone's just like, you just got so much energy and then there's not really much expectations on you. You just kind of come in, do your job, and if you're decent, everyone's like, he's good, you know, you can handle NRL. And then the next year, it's kind of like, all right, you're an established kind of NRL player now, you should be doing this week and week out, and when you don't, it's kind of like, I guess teams start IDing you a bit more and whatnot.
That's a big one, the ID part. Because obviously the worst. They've got a year of like footage of you, and if he's playing halves or fullback, start to identify weaknesses pretty quick. And a lot of us halves or fullbacks, our biggest weakness is always defense, isn't it?
100%. That's why I try to play fullback, look after their shoulders.
Tino, obviously we're going to swing back to him a little bit because I watched it from the outside in. I remember when I was partying a few boys after the Queensland victory up in Byron. I asked Sandor, I was like, bro, where's Tino? And he goes, he wanted to get to the Gold Coast, put his roots down early because he wanted to be part of the leadership. And this is like, he would have been 20. Just won a competition, just won the Origin when new boys are running the muck around there. And to think that...
Good times.
Yeah, good times. Great times.
Look, great times.
Money, money, money. But like to think someone that young is that mature, it must be like fun to be around as a player. And what's he like as a captain and leadership style? Is he very vocal? I know he leads by actions, but what's he saying behind closed doors?
He's a bit of like, he's a big dumb boy. Like we call him dumb boy. And you ask the Melbourne boys, they like Harry and that, they'll say, how is he a captain in terms of like, when he was there, obviously he's a good player and that, but he's just, he's a big dumb boy. He's always taking the piss. Like we'll be in meetings and he's poking your rib, you know, but then he still has that confidence where he'll get the group in, you know, not even on the field, like in a meeting, say what he expects. So he's obviously leads by his actions as everyone sees on the field, but he's really like, determined and invested in the club, and you can see it, like things like that, like he'll come back the fittest forward, you know, and he'll eat well in the off season. He's not, he won't go off sign 10 years like mad, like he feels like, you know, he owes the club premierships and that sort of thing, and he rides that pretty hard. So he definitely has his jokes and that, but he's got his serious side, and he likes to get around the boys and that.
David Fifita, we get to see him on, obviously this year has been great for him, but what's he like as well? Like obviously we don't really know him on a personal level. He gets a lot of critique because he did have that $1 million tag on him for a little while, and I think sometimes that's a burden, but what's he like behind the door, closed doors?
He's good, man. He's a funny fellow. Right? He's another kind of dumb boy that I call, we kind of call dumb boys, him and Tino, they're two big dumb boys, but he's switched on as well though. He's not silly with that sort of stuff. He knows, you know, what he can bring to a team and what he's worth and that sort of stuff. And now he cracks me up, David. He's been really good this year. I think he went sober for about 6 months, trimmed down his weight to come back pretty heavy from Tonga camp.
As you do.
I said this year, I said, I hope you get picked Aussies this year because can't be having that buffet again.
Fozzy, obviously, he was a year younger than me, but I always admired the way he played. And when one of my coaches said you should try and build your game off him, and he's still doing it. Very different character. Give us a breakdown on Fozzy and what he's meant to you and the club.
He's a ledge, Fozzy. I'm actually surprised. You're older than him, you reckon?
Yeah.
He's tough, man. He's been getting needles in his toes and his sternum the last like 10 weeks to play. His sternum was crooked. He injured it. Didn't play last week. Injured against Cronulla, and he's already like trying to get a cortisone in it to finish the year. I'm like, bro, like, you know, like, look after your body a bit. Like, there's the last two games. Your sternum's been cooked all year, but he's passionate again. He's another passionate person about the club, but he is a bit different, you know. But I think he's really enjoying being around, like, young lads.
Yeah.
He's enjoying, like, him and Tanner Boyd have kind of, Tanner just leached to him pre-season to the point where it was a bit embarrassing, you know. Like, bro, give him a break. But their missus hang out and they do their little trips and that now, so that's pretty cool. But he loves the beer, and he's good, man. He's played since, I think, 2011, or was it 2009, or...
Yeah, maybe...
Or maybe Chase was 2011. Was he before then?
Yeah, he would have debuted 2009. I remember it was against, like, Melbourne. Mate, plays the same way.
It's
like,
a long, long
digging
time.
Digging deep into the long.
Yeah, mate. He gets me at training every time.
Oh, like, does he?
I'm on the back door, and I think it's going to me every time he goes in, and just... Yeah, no, he's tough, man.
Obviously, the switch up in coaching's been a bit of a curveball. Justin Holbrook come in with a lot of raps around him as a rookie coach. What did you learn from Justin Holbrook? And are you, I wouldn't say excited, but what excites you about Desi coming in?
With Desi, chat to Foz and that sort of stuff. And I've heard this story, like George Rose and that says, and I was cracking up at that. Like, I'm pretty scared, to be honest. But I'm also keen. I'm like, I think we need that hard edge. Sort of coach. I think Justin's a great coach, and I still chat to him and then that sort of stuff. But I feel like our squad in particular, and especially the way the game's going with, like, you know, it's not the same even when I came in compared to when rookies come in. You know, everyone's just on the same level now. Even when I came in, boys like Pizzi and Proctor and that, like, they wouldn't really chat to you too much. You kind of had to earn that, whereas now it's like squad number 36 and Tino.
Good luck.
Everyone's on the same page, which is good. It's good for juniors and that coming in, but I feel like what comes with it is then, like, I guess, entitlement and that as young players. And then I think Desi's probably going to bring a hard edge that most of us haven't really had yet in terms of, like, copping really bad sprays and holding him on trying, like, very accountable. I've heard from Fozzie's, like, very detailed and he's not going to kind of let little things slide. So I'm excited to see. I've already kind of was thought, oh, shit, you know, probably got a bit comfortable the last few years.
Yep.
In terms of just my relationship with Justin and just kind of knowing I'd be in that 13, whereas now I'm like, oh, okay, now I really have to want to impress Desi and be as fit as I can for preseason and show him that I'm tough. He's got to kind of, he doesn't know what you're like, you know, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Sees you on the weekend, but throughout the week and that sort of stuff. So I'm actually looking forward to the challenge that our kind of team has in terms of, like, him just, yeah, not really letting shit slide and having a coach that's won there at NRL level before.
Yeah, I love that. Also, interviewed Cardi a couple of weeks back and I go, do you regret going to the Titans? And he goes, I don't regret going there, but at the time, Bruno, even though I loved Bruno, he wasn't the coach that I needed for that point in my career for me to kick on. I needed that hard-nosed guy. And he's got that kind of FBA at Parramatta and see Cardi's performance.
Killing it.
Time on the field. And
yeah.
Maybe your organisation just looked at your squad, looked at you boys around that 22 to 26. So we just need someone with a hard edge about us.
And I reckon, like I said, like Justin's obviously he's a good coach. He's won Commonwealth Super League. I'm stoked. I think he's going back to Roosters, which is good. Cool. You know, he's
welcome.
So like I'm happy for him there, and it does like suck. You know, like I said, we all liked him as coach, and we didn't know it was kind of coming.
So that blunt signed to you guys as I think that's a good way to do it, to be fair.
Well, I don't really know how, like, there's no good way around it, really. We just kind of came in, there was a meeting. I was like, fuck. We come from Origin 2, I was 18th man, but we were still at Caxton and that. So we kind of came in, and all the boys just kind of walk around like on eggshells, and we're like, that's the four Origin boys, Mo, David, and Tino.
Just thinking, fuck, have we done something wrong?
Yeah, there's a meeting, and they're like, Tino's like, fuck, like, did we do something, Caxton? I was like, nah, like, there was nothing. Like, nothing happened. And then we go in there and there's just, like, a meeting. But all the players were like, oh, like, what's the go? And they're like, oh, like, you'll find out. And we're like, what's going on? And I get in there and, like, I'm just looking around. I'm like, fuck, Justin's not in here. Like, he would be in here. And then,
yeah,
he got told then. And obviously that was, like, on the Thursday. We played on that Sunday. So it was a bit of, like, a, you know, keep it simple week. It was kind of this shit happening everywhere, especially for the staff and that as well. They were kind of like,
do this as like, use this as motivation stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the percentage of teams that lose a coach and win that weekend, it's freaking high, man. Like, we beat the Broncos at Suncorp that weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess back to Desi, I guess our team probably needs someone like Desi who probably is not going to give too much of a shit about feelings and that sort of stuff. He just wants a footy team that wins.
Yeah.
And I guess there's different types of coaches for different teams that can work better and, you know, manage players better. And I guess the organisation just thought Desi will get the best out of us and really challenge us, I guess.
Who's his support staff that he's got coming with him? Jimmy Dimmock coming?
Nah, well, Jimmy Dimmock was here.
Oh, he was already
here.
Yeah,
he's been here for at least last year or 2 years. Mm. I'm not actually too sure. I'm pretty sure our assistants are staying on.
Oh, okay.
In Brett White, Jimmy L, and Brad Davis. I'm pretty sure he might be bringing one more, but I haven't really been confirmed.
Mm. Have you guys picked up anyone else for next year? I'm just trying to think off the top of my head.
We've got Keenan Palacia, who's been playing good footy.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to have him. I was actually thinking before.
He's got a bit of skill about him too, eh?
He's good, bro. And I don't know if you know, he's a funny dude. Oh. He's a good fella. Again, like, he's always down the Gold Coast and that. So, but he's been playing a bit of back row, a bit of ball playing lock. So yeah. He'll be good for us.
100%. I think of Gold Coast and I hear the signings of Tino and David, which is great. But to me, I've always had this opinion that I think competitions or teams that win come down to halves or fullbacks. When I think of the Titans, I think the best chance for you guys to win is for you, AJ Brimson, to be firing. Now, when you hear that, does that make you nervous or do you get excited by the proposition? How, if I go, Titans can't win a comp unless you're playing at a Dally M form, how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel like I feel the same sort of thing, you know? Like, I feel like...
Because obviously you've heard that.
I'm a key part of our team and, like, if I'm not playing good, then... I need to be playing good for us to do that, and along with others. But I guess I kind of like that sort of. Yeah, I want to be that player in a team. You know, it's better than not being relied on. You know, like I look at things like, not that I kick field goals, but like I'd rather freaking die trying to do a grubber at in the last minute than throw it to someone. You know what I mean? Than throw it to someone else. So I guess that's the sort of pressure I want. But I guess you got to live up to it then as well. Otherwise, you're kind of wasting people's time. So it just depends where we're all going to fit in next year with JC. Obviously, JC, I think, is another one that needs to be like firing with me.
Yep.
And on the field with me. So, I'd rather that than fucking not.
Where do you, if Titans are to succeed, where do you feel, what position do you feel you want to be playing for you to be the best chance at winning?
Well, I mean, in my eyes, I feel like we're best when I'm firing at fullback.
Yep.
But in saying that, I feel like we're at our best when JC's and me are both on the field. So I'm not exactly too sure where. There's been hints that I could be moving to centre, possibly, which I'm like, I don't hate it, but I'm like, I don't want to like just give up my position as well. You know, yeah. Like me and JC are good mates. It's pretty healthy. He can play six centre, wing, fullback. And I feel like I can play probably six centre, fullback.
Mm.
It's just, I feel like these things usually have a way of panning, like working themselves out. You know, you always go into preseason like, frick, where's everyone going to play? And then he gets an injury and he's there or he ends up going there. You know, kind of always, it just works itself out. You always like, I always think, mate, how's this going to work? There's going to be three of these gun forwards playing Q Cup and then something happens, he gets injured, he goes back row. You know, it just kind of works itself out. So at the moment, I'm pretty open to, I'd rather be playing centre and winning games than, you know, not. But I guess we'll have to kind of work that sort of stuff out. But
question, do you feel like you'll be wasting your talent at centre?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so yeah. Too.
Now, I look at like just little things like, we're in a spine meeting yesterday for Melbourne and I'm like, I don't want to play in a game where I'm not a part of the spine.
Yeah.
I don't want to be out there and this is no disrespect to Tanner Boyd, but him going, do this, do that. I'm going, I want to go, nah, I want to do this. Yeah. And that's, I'd be saying that to foreign, anyone, you know, it's not Tanner. I'm just saying like he'd be the half. You know, I like having a say on how we play. I feel like I'm pretty IQ, footy IQ. I like being able to use my left foot down short sides and things like that. So I feel like that, but I guess if Desi comes in and he says, I want you to fullback, great. If he goes, I want you to centre, I mean, at the end of the day, he's the coach.
Mm.
I'll obviously say, you know, if he says, I want you to centre, I'm going to try to be the best centre. You know what I mean? But I guess we'll kind of see, like I said, everything work itself out.
The transition from like fullback to 5'8", and like a lot of question, why do a lot of fullbacks want to go to 5'8"?
I didn't want to.
You never wanted to.
Well, I started at 5'8", went to fullback.
Yeah, yeah. But I think it was KP.
I don't know. Surely he doesn't want to do that. Like when he did it a couple of years ago, I think him and Connor Watson switched halfway through.
Yeah, I remember that.
Switched back. And then this year, I'm like, I don't know if it's the club's point of view or his point of view. And like, I don't mind saying this. Like, KP is a good mate of mine, but he's obviously a much better fullback, I think.
Mm.
Well, he's on fire at the moment, and he's always been on fire when he's playing fullback. He's obviously skillful enough to play halves, but I don't know why he'd put himself under that defensive pressure to make tackles when he doesn't have to.
Because I was talking to Moiser about it, Matty Moylan, and he was just saying, oh, just get over carrying the ball back. And obviously Moiser, like, same thing, I don't mind saying this, but he doesn't have, like, the toughest carry, much like sort of like a Gufferson style where you guys carry the ball back all right. I just don't see why. Like, fullback looks, if you can play it and you've got legs underneath you, you've got IQ and you can shift 3-on-2.
It's the best
you
position, bro.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It's the best position. You have no, I love going to the halves. What are we doing? You know, like, in terms like, you know, when you lose the game, they just go bang halves.
Yeah.
And you're like, unlucky boys, like, we didn't build pressure, that's on you.
Yeah.
I'm just listening to yous. But like, I played centre a couple weeks ago against Cowboys, second half.
Yeah.
Come off with my oblique injury. Come back on when JoJo did his syndesmosis. But centre, I was blowing at centre, man. Like, Phil was my wing, and I was like, man, if I was wing, there's no way I'd be dropping back. And I'm always at the back spraying Phil, spraying Loffy if they're not getting back, you know, like, into him. But just the difference between wrestling, getting up, 10, bouncing, doing all that sort of stuff, like, completely different fitness. But then if they went to fullback, they'd be cooked. Whereas I find fullback, it's like anything. You get used to, like, where you can take your rests and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But, and then I think hooker's the most Oh god, that's
the lowest job in the comp.
That is the lowest job in the comp for sure. They did not get paid enough.
It's funny you say that about centers, because it's probably the only position in football that's like a true one-on-one battle. Like, yeah. I know there's we can go best prop against best prop and they can collide, but there's always people around there. When you defend out in center, sometimes it feels like a pretty lonely place, doesn't it?
It's pretty scary.
And got some centers coming through too, so you start looking up and
If I stand up, I see Talakai, I'm going, oh, fuck you, yeah. I
can't. Joey Money, like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and they're Patoni. All different sizes, yeah.
And they all have different sort of attributes, but I don't know, like, I feel like we're at our best when I'm a fullback, but we could be at our best when we're both, when JC's a fullback and I'm at centre, or I'm at six, or JC's at six, and I'm a fullback.
Yeah.
Like, you never know, like, if something could happen to one of our halves. I'm assuming one of us would go there. Like, JC played six on the weekend when I played fullback. So
I think JC at six would be an interesting one. I like him at fullback too as well, because he's just like, I feel like the ball just bounces his way.
Mate, Indigenous players, the ball bounces their way.
It just does, eh?
It does, bro. Yeah. Like, he's a freaky man. He's skillful as, he's so light, but he never ever gets, he uses his feet too well.
Mm.
I feel like he kind of uses it against players. They kind of think, he's jamming, they get down it, and they try go like that, and he just... So, I love playing with him, you know, I love when I'm... Because we versed whoever it was, Roosters. I'm holding there, and you know when they just start name-dropping and that? And, like, if you've got JC there as well, they have to be worried about, you know, JC on a short side or a long side or whatever. It just adds another threat to our attack.
Mm, 100%. Origin, obviously, knocked up a few appearances now. Obviously, proud Queensland boy. What's that experience like, bro?
It's mad. It's just this year, to be honest. You know, I went, injured my, tore my right hammy, played one game, tore my left hammy out for another 6 weeks, came back, played one game, I was 80th man. I was like, this is mad. You know, I was just kind of like happy just to be back playing, literally, like for Titans. And then was in camp for 18, in camp as 80th man for the game to at Suncorp. Sick. Billy's. Yeah, he's a wizard, man.
I was about, this is one of my follow-up questions. Mate, break it down for me. Break it down. As a footy nerd, break it down for me.
As someone who I like pride myself on knowing the game in terms of as a fullback defense, like that's what I'm like, thinks bread and butter, like splits, when to jump in the line, when not, everything else. I thought like, you know, there's still a lot of things you can learn attacking defense, but I was like, thought I was pretty like, I could get better at things, but I was pretty onto like what to know, but he showed me lots of things that I could be doing better, like lots of things in terms of positioning, even not turning my body when the ball goes that way and getting on a shuffle earlier, because you said the difference between, you see how many times a fullback will miss a ball by 3 meters, 2 meters, or dive in the corner, missing by half a step, you know, the difference between that or just already being like in that position and like things like when the player was there, where to be standing, how much time you've still got to react when they take the short side.
Is the basic rule still you're half a pass inside? Like say the ball's coming from this way, I'm the half here. Are you always like half a pass inside there? Or is that the rule? Or has that changed?
The rule that I learned from Billy was if the player ball's around the scrum line, he said there's always a line where the player ball is.
Yeah.
Like a line like a black dot. You want to be like in between that. So play the scrum line, between scrum line and post. If it's on left post, I'm kind of between post and middle, just like kind of behind the ball.
Yeah.
If it goes all the way out there, all the way to the sideline, don't really need to go past the scrum line. Otherwise, you're just wasting energy.
Yeah.
Oh, things wow, like yeah. Things like that. And things like I find myself in the line a lot, and he says, like, on last, you know, don't want to find yourself in the line. Like, you want to be a fullback first. Just literally, I know you go back to those games. He says, yeah, I learned a lot. I learned, like, literally, I feel like I'm like, I want to be a back five coach. Just... he's so detailed with his video and it is crazy the amount of times you literally you'll be on the field running, it'll go a two pass shift and you're not sprinting, you're just going,
yeah,
they do a kick and you just miss it and you go, it's little things like that.
So what should you have done better there, like move quicker or
yeah, it's anticipate the kick and just that's the beauty and the struggle of being a fullback, you know, there's so many times you might sprint, make that try saving tackle, but you do that 9 times before and the center makes it anyway.
Yeah.
But you've got to be there in case, but no one really sees it because you're just running behind the line. You know, but then the one time they make right, you're not there, you're like, fuck, he tries to say, you know, be that difference between scoring or saving a try, you know, like be that last line to sort of try. But yeah, just, he was very impressive. Not just with fullbacks, as a coach. Like, very, couldn't talk highly enough of how detailed he is.
Yeah, it's even that small stuff, like even like basic body language. Like, I remember like when we used to play Melbourne, I think I played him like two, three times, and like we used to try and generate like kicking plans to like get around him. And like our coaching, kicking coach at the time, he goes, if you can bounce it twice on Slater on the ground, like that, we'll class that as a win. But we used to try kick at him from a 6-4 split. So we'd land it on the scrum, wrap around blind side because the wing is up, land it on top of his head and try and pick him up. And it was just cool because I was like a bit of a nerd. Like I really enjoyed that sort of stuff. But
like tactical,
Like tactical and then trying to execute it. And then, you know, when you pull something off in the game or you learn something in the game and you're like, oh shit, this is it. Mm. Like, it must have been cool to learn from the goat.
Mate, I had a spine meeting that game too. So I was in a spine with Walshy, Munster, Chez, Harry Grant, Ben Hunt, Thurston, Smithy, Slater. I'm sitting there literally going, I'm not in the right place right now. Can I get your autograph? But like, literally, it is weird. Like, I'm still just a fan. I watched the footy as a fan. Like when I was out for Origin 1 or like when I was watching it on TV, you know, I'm barracking as a fan, just as like my brother does and my missus, whatever. And then you're in a room with them going like, they're like relying on you to do these sort of things and these plays. And you're like, it is pretty cool kind of step back and go, like, I still step back and go like, fuck, like that's Smithy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not just like, oh yeah, I'm in this now. Like it's still like.
Did you feel pressure to like, if they put a question towards you, like, did it feel like there was more pressure on it? So say you're on a game show and I ask you the most basic question in the world and you get it wrong, you know those ones. Because you're in a room with such like great players, do you feel pressure? Or you seem pretty confident.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident in that sort of stuff. And Billy was really, really good at giving you confidence.
Okay.
He was really good at like, just back yourself. Like, you know, like you're here for a reason sort of thing. Like he was, and then you kind of would work at the start of the week, build on your individual game throughout trainings and opposed sessions and that and then just kind of build. And then he's a good coach, man.
Yeah.
He knows his shit.
Do you reckon he'll head into the NRL arena? Or do you reckon he's better tailed off into... Obviously, I think he could.
But... I reckon he could. Just from those camps, I think he could. Like, obviously, there's people like Mal Meninga and that who are, I reckon, suited to, like, Origin, Australia, and they're really good at connecting people and knows how to do that stuff, whereas he obviously does that, but I reckon he's still like around NRL systems enough to
understand all the trends and stuff.
Yeah.
He? Fullbacks league right now, there's 1,000 good fullbacks. Who's a couple guys that you're looking at right now that are probably doing the best and stuff you're learning from? So obviously Reece Walsh is on fire, and the way he's sort of stripping like out the back and the change in tempo, it's probably like stuff we haven't, I know people do it, but I feel like he's really nailing that out the back sort of like catch and just go. Like,
yeah.
What are you learning from fullbacks around the league as a student of the game?
Again, like Reece Walsh is, frick man, everything touch turns to gold this year. And like,
would you be as quick as him? Like
I feel like no watching him, but I'll be interested to see like, because I feel like I'm pretty quick off the mark, but he's just a whole nother level, man. But I think he's doing really well. I think what's really good with him is, one, he's the most confident person ever, which is, like, in a good way, you know? Like, he'll back himself to the... He'll throw four long balls that'll go forward and he'll throw the fifth one to a try. You know, he doesn't care, which is good. Like, you can't... You look at Munster and that, you can't beat that. Like, James Maloney, I reckon, was the best at that. Like, wouldn't care if he's having the worst game, but he would still try it because... And they're the dangerous ones. But I think he's doing really well. I think just having... Reynolds as well, he can really be able to fly on that back door. And Reynolds is, if they go on a jam, he's hitting Katoni, he's kicking for Cobbo, he can really fly onto that. Whereas I feel like when you're a basic team, teams can ID that pretty early and just jam and if the more he flies, the more he's gonna get jammed. But obviously he's freaking, he's doing a really good job. I feel like the players around him are doing such a good job as well, and it's allowing him to do his strengths, but he's doing shit by him, you know, he's scooting through the middle and just, I think he's just so hot this year, and I think they'll go pretty close to winning it. Obviously Ponga's fine.
As when you watch Ponga, like, Like, I was talking to Nath the other day, and he goes, I love Sean Johnson, watching him as a kid, because he was doing stuff that I couldn't do. And I look at Kalen kind of like that. Like, I don't know, different for you, because you're talented, but like, I look at Kalen's stuff that he's doing, I was like, I don't reckon anyone can do what he can do.
Nah. I feel like even Walshy does things that no other fullback can do. I think KP, yeah, he's silky, man. I like watching him play. Just, even that one where he went through on the weekend, I think he stepped inside Campbell Graham, who's quality defender, but just slippery, man. I feel like I do that and I just ragged on me. Doesn't really hit the same.
You start getting dragged down, hey, trying to keep your legs down.
Push it. No, I feel like I think you look at Dylan Edwards. He's completely different. He's just reliable as shit. He's always there. Still skillful, but you know he's that one who will take that fourth tackle going into a kick. Always poke his nose through. He's always just.
As a fullback, it's a good time to take that carry, that fourth
it's
one.
Starting especially to get in.
If you've got a nice carry on you, like if you can find your front, you're not getting wrist-sold.
I'm only going if it's quick. I'm going, play. No, you go, bro. Tino,
take your third head up.
He loves it, bro. He doesn't get tired.
It's a little bit annoying. Not annoying. And you don't strike me as a jealous whatsoever. But you got KP, you got yourself, you got Reese. And in this game, State of Origin is everything. Does that kind of annoy you a little bit? Not annoy you, that's probably the wrong word.
Honestly, it's... I look at it like this year, like... I still played Origin this year and I did both my hammies before it and... Obviously, Reese Walsh was there and got suspended and KP kind of didn't put his hand up, but like... If that's what it took for me to play, you know what I mean? Like, things sometimes just work out that way. But again, I'm mates with both of them, which helps, so... I've known... KP since played touch together in 15s and then
are you a touch boy are you
yeah. I always see you do your touch teams I'm never in I'm like they don't know but
oh, let's break it down who's your starting six and in NRL who would you jag and give me middle links wings
obviously Sean KP mid? I'd go link man like oh me and KP oh what's Sean middle
oh, yeah he'd be middle
we're all middle links I reckon they're all pretty similar
yeah. Wingers just have to catch the ball.
Yeah, but I'm not playing wing. I'll go left wing. That's sweet. Who else we got? I heard Moisa was good.
Moisa was good. Apparently, Dejan Arce.
Yeah, he is good.
Apparently, he was a freak.
Yeah, he went to Kibra. I'll chuck Dejan on the wing.
Are you a Kibra boy? No.
Yeah, he's Kibra boy.
Are you Kibra?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I always have cracks at Kibra too. And
mate, I crack up at the post that you do when you mock Kibra because it's so true. Was he one about ducks? I've seen it before.
Only reason I have crack at Kibra is because obviously Normie and Corey. You know.
I don't know what my starting six would be, but me and KP, we played 15s Queensland together against Pappenhausen. He was there. But yeah, so back to the thing, I've known those boys and I still chat to them all. Like, you know, KP, he's as cool as they come. He's chilled as. So I don't know. Hopefully there's a way we can all find ourselves in the team at some stage, but I love playing for Queensland, but if I don't play, it's not the end of the world as well.
Yeah, as long as the boys get up, eh? I used to support New South Wales as a kid, but I got older and just got to meet all Queensland boys, and they're so much nicer people.
Mate, I can't talk for them, but yeah, the camps and that are just, they're so good. Everyone loves it. It's so funny and it's so good to see all the old boys coaching as well.
Yeah. All right, so you know, AJ Remsen, the footballer, what do you do outside of football?
I'd like to say I surf, but I get on a Crumbinelli a little bit, but...
All right, get up.
No, I can get up on a, look like an 8-foot mall, so... I can get off a foam board, but try to play a bit of golf, but nah, honestly, just hanging out, traveling off seasons, go to the beach, my Starbos, like going out for dinners.
Mm.
That sort of stuff.
Where's the best spot in Goldie?
Rickshaws, probably.
Is it? I was there.
Bug
actually, I saw Fozzy in Rickshaws 2 weeks ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
You didn't want to invite me, eh? Would have been with Tanner. Attached to the hip, them too, but... there's a few good ones. I reckon... I love Tropic next to Pad. Yeah. You know, like long lunch. Siblings at Kira on the beach again. Mad. Just give them shout-outs to these restaurants. Hope get something back, eh? No, there's a few good ones, though. But no, Rickshaws, I reckon... Probably takes a cake for like in terms of like a date at night.
It's a good vibe, isn't it?
It's good.
So you talk about off season and traveling, and obviously your life changed this last off season. Hampay 101.
101.
101. I went through this experience when I was 20 years old, and we had Sonny Fye. and we were about to go into preseason. It was the first day of preseason, January 4th. He drowned on January the 3rd, and we were like 20 years old. And I think it's when you lose a family member, it's like, oh, that's my family. But when you lose a friend and you lost your best friend, it's like a different experience. And I remember that day so clearly. It's like, you know when you drop a plate and it feels like it goes in slow motion? Yeah. It feels like that. That whole day, it just felt like time stood still. I just remember every conversation. You went through one of the roughest things I could imagine as a friend. What was that like, bro?
Bro, it was heavy, eh? It was, in terms of like, probably like 48 or like 40 hours from like, you know, hell, you know, you see like those things, but like 48 hours from hell, just like, the whole search, you know, not knowing. So pretty much started off, go into our hostel, like 5 a.m., you know, out in Barcelona, having a mad time. All walk in jibs and drabs. A few Sheilas, whatever, we're all in groups. Get back into the room, the hostel. I'm meant to be with Liam, my brother, and Ricky.
Mm.
All three not in the room when I get back. Doing God knows what, whatever you do overseas. And Will was in another room with a chick, whatever. And then wake up in the morning and Ricky had come in and Will was there. And I was like, for a camp, I must have gone home with a chick. Like, it had happened a few times before on the trip, you know, going home with this bird or whatever's going on. You're like, yeah, sweet. Whatever, you know, as lads do. You're like, yeah, sure, yeah. I'll text you tomorrow. It's like 10 a.m., 10, 11 a.m. I'm like, fuck, he's still on it. He must be texting him, you know, fuck, where are you at? Nothing. Ends up being like one or two, and we're like, yeah, fuck. Like, he's not the type, you know, you get like those loose mates who you're like, you won't hear from him for a day or two. Like, yeah, that wasn't him. And I'm like, texting him, nothing, calling him. But his texts were going through, but like, maybe I could ring him, but the texts weren't delivering. I think he had reception, but not Bluetooth or what, iMessage or whatever it was. But long story short, we're at the cop stations all from about 3:30. Trying to do missing persons in Spain with Spanish police trying to half understand us.
Mm.
And say, oh, like, what happened? We're like, you know, didn't come home, can't get a hold of him. Well, you know, was he drinking? Yeah. They're like, oh, it's all right, you know, he's passed out somewhere. He's at a mate's house. This happens all the time. We're like, not with him, you know, he's switched on dude. He's whatever. Go back again. New cop who'd come around the front. Spanish again. They hadn't relayed what we'd been trying to tell them the first time. You know, frustrating, but they're like, oh, here we are, all this. We're like, we just want to do missing persons reports and start, like, trying to, you know, go back to the club and check security footage. Because we were tripping out going, fuck, did he leave with us or not? You know, when you're like, you have a big night, you're like, you can hardly remember walking home. I'm like, hope we didn't, like, walk off and he was like, fuck, which way is it and got lost, whatever, you know, like, whatever. And we go to the embassy, all this, on the phone, back to his mum, back home, trying to suss everything on the phone to Queensland police, trying to sort out people over here. On the phone to ex-SAS dudes who, like, know how to, like, find people, things like that. Just trying to, you know, up all that night into the morning.
Did you feel like you knew?
I knew about four in the arvo the first day. I remember saying, like, I reckon we have to really understand that something bad has happened, because if his phone was dead, he knew where we were staying, he would have got a cab there. If he had no money, he would have got a cab and just ran and made us pay, or, you know, he would have messaged us if his phone was... I was like, it just wasn't him. If it was somebody else, maybe you'd be like, oh, idiot, but, like, kind of just had that feeling, like, you know, you start tossing up options, like, you know, where could he possibly be if it wasn't something bad? We were hoping he just kind of, like, got mugged, you know, and was just had nothing and was in the middle of Barcelona somewhere and couldn't get hold of anyone. Into the next day, into the cop station, and then, mate, we put on Instagram, missing, anybody, had all this. Yeah. People thought we were ginning up, you know, because, you know, the whole trip, we're just having the best time. Man, the amount of messages we got, good and bad, man. I got messages from people saying, I know where he is, I saw him leave. He left with this dude, mate. To the point where I printed off a photo of this dude, took it in the police station while we're waiting, took it to him, said, mate, this random dude's been messaging me, saying all this, said he saw him leave with this dude. So now I'm going, I'm feeling sick, going, fuck, what's this dude done? And then the next message is, sorry, I've got a problem. I just really wanted you to reply to me. Like, I'm a massive footy fan and shit. And I was like, you know, makes you want to, in those moments, you're like, fuck, I could kill this dude, man. You know, like, just, anyway. So there's shit like that. There's a lot of helpful people, you know, saying like, I used to live there. I know people here. I can interpretate for you, whatever. They know locals and that. And long story short, I was with my brother. So it was like, probably about midday the next day, they're like, went into like the constable's office because like, any news, whatever. They just kept saying, no. And then we're sitting in there doing a statement of like, missing persons report. And he's like, they found your friend. And we're like, I like looked at Will. I was like, kind of half smiled, but kind of was like, you know, I'm never going to like count my chickens. I was just kind of like, oh, mad, you know, like, and he'd be like, again, he's Spanish, you know, like, it's more like, you just hear, they found your friend. It's not like he's talking like me and you. He's just saying like, somewhat English. And then he just wrote down this address. He's like, oh, you got to go here. And I was like, that doesn't, you know, didn't sound very good. And then we went to this big station. It was like the big cop station in Barcelona. Went there. Me and Will were sitting there in like this like waiting room. Kind of like feeling sick. Like, you know, if he was sweet, we'd be in a hospital and he's being bashed, or we'd be like with him, whatever, just waiting. And I can see like, you know, my old man passed away when I was like in 2011, like from cancer and that, but like I've been around support workers, I know what it looks like, you know. Sitting there, see support workers there, like kind of just talking, but like not to us, and we're just sitting there waiting, and then getting a big table like this, the interpreter's here, there's big police, there's support workers, like we knew at this stage. Yeah, they told us, and then, yeah, it was one of those things that I didn't cry probably for like half an hour. It's just more like,
just didn't feel real.
Yeah. Still now, it's kind of like, I feel like I'm sweet talking about it and that, you know, like I like talking about Liam and that sort of stuff, but just sometimes I kind of step back and realize like how, like, I guess traumatic it was, but I don't really feel it like that. So it is a bit surreal, but it was a very, very heavy 48 hours, you know, and we were just like, I was always flying home the next day. They said they can't send Liam home for a couple of weeks till they do all the tests, or they couldn't send him home for a week. So like, I was just gonna stay there till we found out what happened. And then I think that must be like a Tuesday. We're always gonna fly home on the Wednesday. And I was like, fuck, get me the fuck home, eh? Like at that stage, I was just like, there was nothing more we could really do. Did a big statement after we found out with everything. And then, yeah, it was just sad. Yeah.
I just like, because the thing that really like, oh, this sounds super selfish, but it rattled me because you guys, that trip reminded me of like what me, Chico, and Norma used to do.
Yeah.
And it was like, you build such great relationships. Football's cool. Like, you jump on the field, do things, try and win a game. But those relationships that you built with it, and the like, it proper rattled me. And I remember texting like Norms, and I remember the loose nights that we used to have, and sometimes Chico would go missing for a day, and me and Norms would just, bro, I don't know, it proper rattled me, eh? Like, oh, and you went through it, bro, I can't even imagine. What was it, obviously, talking to his parents, and I know you're super close, and I seen the messages they said about you. What was that like, bro? I don't want to...
Oh, that was the worst part of it all.
Oh, fuck.
That was the worst part of it all, easily.
Mm.
Like, you know, I'm the communication from Barcelona back to his family, so I'm updating it with everything. So while they tell me I've got messages like any news, you know, what's the latest, I'm just like, yeah, it took me like an hour to like get myself together to, you know, try to tell them that sort of stuff. So, and again, they've been so good, like stronger than I think most families would be, you know, just they just express how grateful they are of like, one, I guess us being good mates to Liam and how much of a fun time we had, but then just like, you know, for sticking it out and doing that sort of, you know, like how much we obviously care about him as we did or we do, you know, but they just express their gratitude, you know, like of how tough it must have been on us. And I'm like, it was tough on us, but like, fuck, it's tough on you, you know, you're the ones, you know. Yeah. So they've been really good. They're doing their, the Hampos Youth Foundation, which is cool. He was just about to be a school teacher, just about to finish his uni. So I guess his passion was footy and kids, you know, without being a creep, but yeah, kids.
His haircut used to give me a laugh, but like he looks like a bit of trouble, wouldn't he,
man? Nah, he was a good dude, man, obviously. Ledge dude, just one of those freak accidents, man. Just freak accidents.
What's the biggest lesson you've learned from that? Not so much about that, just in life in general.
I guess it's just cliche, but like you never really know like how quick thing your whole life can just go change. So hasn't turned me off traveling. I still want to live my life. Like we literally, like the amount of times he was saying, you know, his family gets a lot of closure knowing the amount of times he was saying just how he's having the best time of his life. Like he wanted to travel Europe so bad. And
it looked like one of the great trips. Like,
mate, it was all time. We'll talk off air. But no, he I just went single. He kept nagging me. I was like, I'm not gonna go. And I just thought, like, fuck it. I'm just gonna book it. This is just gonna be me and him. And my other brother ended up coming. And then a few of the boys ended up just like wanting to go. But such a good trip, man. Like everything we did was just like full throttle, and it was just fun. It was just best time ever. So.
What was your favourite thing about him?
Him?
Yeah.
Honestly, his positivity.
Always positive?
Always. We lived together for years, and there was me, my brother, my ex, and him for like about a 2-year stint. And I was easily earning the most, and he was easily earning the least, but he was, again, easily the happiest. He was never stressed about money. He never had any. He was pretty stingy. But he was just... You know, like, he was always one of those people who just tries to, like, get people to buy it. You know, like, he couldn't really get in his head. He was always happy doing what he wanted to do. And he was the least peer-pressured person I'd ever met. If he thought wearing... Like, he had shit kit. If he thought wearing those shit kit with those slides were mad, you couldn't tell him otherwise. You know, he was confident in who he was. So he was annoying. Like, fuck. We sprayed him that many times overseas. Like, as you do. He was doing my head in. But, like, we were pretty much, like, on that brother level in terms of... You know, when you live with someone, you have an argument, it's kind of awkward.
Yeah.
We've been mates that long, it was like, I'd spray him to the point, like, we know you're going to punch ups, and then it's sweet. Yeah, and there's never that awkward, you know, we can say, like, shut the fuck up, Liam. And he'd be saying it back to me, and then it's not like,
yeah, it's not eggshells.
It's just what are you doing later anyway? You know, it's just, that's it.
I love that. Those are the type of friendships you want,
don't you? And I guess, honestly, just, he was always just, you know, he was always up at sunrise, going to the beach, and just, he was just like living life, like he was happy doing what he did.
Yeah. Shout him, bro. Obviously, it must have been so tough to go through. And I guess I know you a little bit, but I'm proud of you of how you sort of handled that. And you learn a lesson from your life, but you haven't let it affect you. Like the fact that you're going on traveling in the off season again.
Yeah.
Me personally, I would have been like scared, eh? So, probably credit to you.
Well, I mean, I never want to go back to Barcelona. You know, that city's just got to fucking. And I used to love it, you know. But. At the end of the day, it wasn't like, I thank God he wasn't, you know, it wasn't a murder or something. You know, that would have really, you know, not that it was good what happened, but it, like I said, it was a freak thing that kind of happened, and it doesn't really deter me from going to my wedding in Vegas that I've got booked for the end of the year.
So, wedding?
Yeah.
You're getting married?
Not me. Oh, nah.
I saw you buy your friend a ticket.
Yeah. PJ.
Must be cool. What a cool feeling to be able to do that stuff for people.
It was. It was, so our mates are going to Bucks and wedding, and I'm traveling over with the missus and that. I'm planning on marrying BJ, my mate. We've always said it since we were young, we're gonna G up and get married, and then Nickers said he's going to get married in Vegas. And so I went out for dinner BJ about a month ago, and I was like, are you coming to Vegas? We get married or what? He's like, oh, I can't really afford it. This. He goes, I said, what if I give you a loan? He goes, yeah, well, a loan that I'll never pay back. I go, I know you're not going to pay it back.
You sound like you got the same mates as me, bro.
I go, I know you're not paying it back. So we'll call it a loan. And I said, if I get your flights, would you come? He goes, if you get my flights, I'm going. You know, like, there's no way. And I was like, oh, yeah, we'll see. And flights were pretty cheap. And I just thought, you know, I want him to be there.
Yeah.
So it was cool, though. It was actually a good feeling, you know, going out for lunch and, you know, filming his reaction, and it was pretty cool. He's actually generally stoked, you know, so, and we're going in, he's flying, I'm going around beforehand, but he's flying into Austin. He loves that sort of stuff. We're trying to suss out the owner of Ringers Western's trying to suss out some ad ranch to go to an Austin.
Oh, cool.
Do some cool shit out there.
Are you going to ACL? Yeah.
No, that's the festival. That's on while we're there. So I haven't really looked into it, but I know we're there. around 4th to 8th of October. I think that's perfect. When it's on.
Yeah, I think a few of the Rooster Boys are going to be around there that time. You know Terps, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's a good lad, eh?
He's a good lad.
Fuck, gets a bit done down in Sydney too.
Yeah.
He's going all right.
Mate, I heard he's one of the best, eh?
Yeah, one of the greats.
I don't know how.
Pound for pound too.
Like. Pound for pound, definitely the greatest.
Off the field, obviously, you're friends with guys like from Alfred's apartment, who's basically the uniform of the Gold Coast. You said you love being around business, you love real estate. Brimmer the entrepreneur. What are you doing off the field that's picking that interest up so much?
I've always, I guess, been passionate about real estate in terms of property. And
where's that come from?
Just since I got my first place. Oh. I just kind of... I remember I was cutting Ryan James' hair one day as 18-year-old, and he's like, I was just renting. He's like, oh, you own this? I said, nah. He goes, why don't you buy a place? I was like, I don't have enough. I don't have enough money, otherwise I would. And then he put me onto Eddie Harrison. He's like a broker. Yeah. He does like heaps of us Titans boys and that. He's just a ledge and got me into this, I think it was 520, this townhouse back in 2018, 2019. And then from there, I've just like loved it, just... being obsessed with looking at realestate.com. I know people who like don't really like doing that, and I'll go there even when I'm like not in a situation or current situation to be able to buy, but just go to auctions. Yeah. I love it. Like I go to inspections knowing I'm not going to buy this joint.
Oh, really?
But I'm like, I just want to see it. And yeah, so I went to auction the other morning in Palmy just to kind of see the area.
Do you, ever feel like just throwing up a random one early?
Early,
like.
and then I was saying, but yeah, obviously Alfred's, all good lads. Ed, super smart, super switched on us. I feel like he's, he gets on trends, I reckon, pretty early.
Mm.
Just,
he nailed the hat.
Yeah.
And now like that style.
Pretty iconic.
Hat. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like well branded, bro.
Yeah. I mean, the amount of times you see these going around, like, you know, it's, I guess, big when you actually see it often, you know, like Gold Coast isn't that small. So like, he's good. And then, yeah, chatting before about just business, I'm just interested in making money. Eh? I'm just interested in having a good life. So I want to buy cool things and do cool stuff. So I'm already thinking, I'm obviously happy with my current contract, but, you know, I thought you get more of a return on some businesses than you do property at the moment, especially with the rates and that interest rate. So if I could be making an extra X amount per month,
throw it my way.
Exactly. I know it's easier said than done, but I'm pretty keen to, you know, be doing some stuff that I used to be a carpenter. I did my carpentry apprenticeship.
Not doing that.
Nah, I'm not being chippy. My back's way too cooked for that. So.
Yeah, that's actually really cool. Like, we were talking about a little bit before where, like, players are more open, more vulnerable than they've ever been before. And in my personal opinion, I think that's a great thing. And then now they're starting to move towards, like, business places. And, like, when I was in football, like, these type of conversations would never be had.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't, you just get called soft. Or, like, I was into photography and books and video. And, like, everyone does that now, which is, like, kind of normal, but... Like, I used to get laughed. Yeah, like, and it's not even that long ago, bro. Like, I used to get laughed at. Then KP does it, and all of a sudden, it's cool.
Anything KP does is cool.
Yeah. But he's got that sort of well factor about him. But, bro, it's cool to see.
Yeah, it's... Like I said, I've been... I interviewed about it. Or not interviewed. I called the owner of this limousine business. It was... I said it was making pretty good profit a year. I was singing Brimo's limos, like it's already catchy. I'm talking to the owner of it, and I have nothing. I'm not even a car dude, you know, like I can change a tire, that's it. But like, I just thought, if I can have a business that's, I'm not just paying off, but I'm making money. And then when I finish, if I've got a couple of those and I want to be doing something at the Titans, you know, I want to be able to, you know, go to the beach in the morning still and not kind of governed by a job.
Yeah.
Similar to yourself.
Yeah, I'm just getting New York next week.
Yeah, fuck.
Bro, last question, bro. What do you want your legacy to be, and who do you want to be? Tough to answer. 24.
Is that as a footy?
No.
I guess I feel like I'm a pretty cruisy. I just feel like I'm a pretty normal dude in terms of people always ask, like, my brother's like a tradie, and they're like, oh, like, does he like eat Maccas or eat chocolate? And I'm like, fuck, bro. If you see, I mean, like, my diet, it's better, but, like, I just enjoy playing footy like, footy's not my life at all. Like, when I train hard, and when I play, I try to play my best, and obviously I care, but I feel like I've got a balance of my life outside footy is just as, if not more important, in terms of family, friends, hanging out, which I feel like is important anyway for most people with footy. But like I said, I love the thought of doing business and having a cafe or something and showing face there. My my girlfriend works in a news agency, or used to work in a news agency, and I used to go in there on my days off and serve people lotto tickets and scratch cards.
Yeah.
Just to be like,
win anything?
Good morning. Nah, that was bad luck. But I like talking shit to people and go, talk about that, you know, chat to some 7-year-old about his life, about, not that I'm interested in his life, but just like listen to his John Dory's about whatever he did that day. And I'm just kind of, mad. And then new people come in, good morning. Like, I don't know, just kind of go with the flow. But in terms of legacy, it's pretty hard. I feel like, I guess just a good dude, you know, cool dude that people like to party with and play footy with.
All right, football. What do you want to be lit? Obviously, the premiership for the debut premiership is.
Mate, I want a photo. I want a photo at the Pav with the premiership trophy. Like
Fisher performing.
Literally, mate, I just want, because I know how good it's gonna be for the Gold Coast. You know, it's not such a sports city. It's, you know, it's got influences and that sort of, like, compared to Brizzy, you know, they got banners of them all through Brisbane City of AFL Bronx players, which is sick. And we haven't earned that yet, which I understand. I just can't wait for the days where we're really humming and people want to sign with us now.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess I want to be known as, you know, a key part of the first Titans premiership. It'd be a doco series, man. It'd be sick. Just I see Fox League or this page screenshot at the start of it. I screenshot everything. Titans shit, or, you know, in other words. Mate, even when me and Toby had number 13th ranked spot, halfback combination or whatever, halves combination, screenshot. I mean, it didn't end up well anyway, but like, in case we do, you know, I just think like all that shit's ammo. Like, no one ever gives us a chance. And then I do like kind of hearing that sort of stuff. So we are determined to turn things around there at the Gold Coast. So I'm looking forward to working with Dez. You know, we got a lot of boys re-signing. Fullback, centre, half, whatever it is, we'll make it work.
All right, love that. Bro, I just want to say thank you for your time. Wish you health, happiness and success, my guy.
Thanks, brother. Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.